On Thanksgiving, gentlemen, it's important to remember that there are places, other places, of course, in this world that do not have the things that we have and take for granted. For example, Indianapolis. Huh? The Colts. Terrible team.
With a really bad coach. Oh, yeah.
Really makes you want to shed the tears.
The tears.
You okay, Dad?
He's just having a heart attack.
I'm knocking! Knocking!
He's choking. I got it.
God, I miss Chris Farley.
All right, that's bogus because in Chicago, we don't talk that way. Nobody really has that kind of voice.
I don't get it either, quite honestly.
I don't
honestly.
Understand why people would characterize this as having that voice because we ain't got it.
We're about to find out a little bit more about the Chicago accent. My voice gets lower when I talk like that, and that's hard to do.
I wonder why.
We have Edward McClelland in the studio with us. We will call you Ted.
Yes.
And you have written numerous books, which we'll talk about, but you did this piece for the Chicago Reader that we wanted to talk to you about because the disappearing Chicago accent is layered with local history. Honest to God, I have grown up here my whole life, born and bred in Brookfield, Illinois.
Beautiful town there,
isn't it, though?
Beautiful town.
We don't talk like this.
Nah.
I don't understand why the super fans talk like that, and that's supposed to be a Chicago accent. Not really a question, but we're going to talk about the Chicago accent today,
sure.
Correct?
Sure. And I just want to say I've been talking to some linguists, and what they tell me is the more correct term than disappearing is it's evolving. And it's becoming more exclusive in people under 40 to the working class. There's three really distinct elements that make up the Chicago accent. One is the A sound. So if you're on the southwest side and you say you're talking about going to St. Xavier University, say, I'm going to Zavs.
Yeah.
So okay. That's called a raised A. And then there's the fronted O, and that is what makes our south side team the Sox.
Opposed to what? How do other people say the Sox? Because I do
the
say
Sox. The Sox.
I
do it too. I say it too. I mean, I'm originally from Michigan, but it's the same dialect zone, and we do the same vowel sounds. And the other one is substituting D for TH. So you
D's, hear Dems, and Does.
D's, Dems, and Does guys. You know, that's always been kind of a term for sort of a salt of the earth Chicagoan from the south side or an inner ring suburb. And that came because that originated because the TH is a pretty rare sound in the world's languages. So if you came from Poland or if you came from Italy, they didn't use that sound and they had a tough time with it. So they just start saying duh.
That makes
for
sense. Tuh,
and it got passed down through the generations. That's why it's Troop Street as opposed to Throop.
Wow.
You know how people say boat instead of both?
Boat.
Both be here around 6
Or they
6
say
o'clock.
1, 2, 3.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, now I'm half Italian, so I would hear my Italian uncles and grandparents
talking
say,
that
yeah.
way. But that's the one element that really is disappearing. People under 40 just have sort of discarded that. I mean, it's disappearing all
except
over the country.
Except for Violetta. Padromatic,
who does traffic
she says, you know, boat
directions.
Boat directions of the eyes. Boat directions.
So you're having some people, you're still, I mean, it's never going to be 100%, but
right.
basic, or 100%, as they say.
100.
About 100.
Not 100.
Right around 100.
Yeah.
100.
So but, when you say, because you had first said disappearing in your piece, but linguists have called you out on it, and they said, let's go with evolving
yeah,
over
yeah,
disappearing.
Sure.
Does that means essentially less and less people are falling prey to this.
Sure. I mean, now it's pretty much become all of these classic pronunciations, the middle class speakers are not using them as much. They're still used by the working class.
Yeah.
And what you call the classic Chicago accent, which was the superfans accent, that was really used by the World War II generation, the baby boom generation. You know, every generation, it's like music.
Mm-hmm.
Every generation has its own sound. Accents are like music. And that was really during the industrial heyday of Chicago. And so at that time, you know, if you graduated from high school in the 60s, you didn't need to leave the neighborhood to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go get a job in a steel mill, and then you didn't have to talk to anybody outside your shop or outside your church or your tavern or your home. And so there was really no need to use standard English. And also that this kind of language, you still hear it a lot, you know, with cops and firefighters and construction workers. It's kind of a macho way to talk. It gives you local cred.
It does, right? It says, it does. I'm a Chicagoan.
Exactly.
That's what that says.
Yeah, I mean, there's no wrong way to talk, but different sorts of accents present different messages. And so with people going to college or people who kind of want to make their way up in the professional world, they're sort of discarding that because it's considered blue-collar talk or, you know, white ethnic talk.
I guess it makes sense. And when you were saying, you know, you don't have to use, I don't remember the term you used, but like your best language.
Yeah.
You do notice, like, if you're meeting like an older person, you show respect, and I sound a lot more eloquent and
when
positive.
You're on the air.
Well, no, not on the air. That's pretty much myself. But like, if I would meet someone, oh, such a pleasure to meet, you know, I'd change my way of speaking a little bit.
And I heard from someone, after I wrote the article, I heard from someone like that who'd grown up on the South Side and said, you know, her father was a salesman and he would, when he'd worked, he would use proper English, but when he'd go home, he'd talk like
that.
But he'd tell the kids, you know, don't talk like that when you meet other people.
Make a good first impression.
Exactly.
A word I am noticing right now that people are saying that drives me crazy, and I hear a lot of news anchors do this on television and people who speak for a living, they put like the word street, if it's S-T-R-E-E-T, for some reason they put an H in there, like S-H. So street. It's strong.
Who says that?
Oh,
my God.
I don't want to name
names.
I'm not naming names, but I've heard a lot of people say, oh, strong winds today. No, there is no H in there. I'm very familiar with this that's happening. That is a new Chicago thing, I think.
Okay. All right. So that was another thing I was going to bring up is how you pronounce the name of the city. That's another generational difference.
That's completely split.
Yes.
And I think it's somewhere around 50-50 of people who say Chicago as opposed to Chicago, right?
Chicago, exactly. And that seems to be more of an old school pronunciation.
Some people, you know, Bill Curtis,
Chicago.
Yeah, you know, and he came over here. He's not from here. He's from Kansas.
I believe he, yeah.
But I said
but
Chicago.
He knew of Chicago. Right.
And they do what's the classical station, WFMT?
Yes.
Yeah, they really emphasize that for some reason.
I'm a combo platter of both. I'm Chicago. It's like kind of not Chicago, but not Chicago.
Right.
Chicago.
Mm-hmm. But Mayor Daley said Chicago.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. Mayor Emanuel says Chicago. And so does Barack Obama. You remember? Hello, Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Does it mean stinky onion?
Or
smelly onion?
It's an Algonquin word. And I don't even know. I wonder how they pronounced it. I think they pronounce it more like Chicago, so we're all doing it wrong.
Yeah,
so there's no right way to do it.
But this is the same place. Our state obviously is in Illinois with an I,
right.
And yet so many people call it Illinois.
You hear
with
that downstate? Yeah, I lived downstate for a couple of years. They drank milk.
Yeah.
And slept on a pillow.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just
and that's an entirely different accent. I mean, you know, Chicago is in a dialect region that stretches from Rochester, New York, to Milwaukee. And I was just in upstate New York driving back to Chicago. To me, that like Buffalo and Rochester sound more like Chicago than any other
city.
They
do, don't they?
Yeah. Because this was settled. Chicago was originally settled from upstate New York and western New England. They get on the boat in Buffalo and they get off in Chicago.
I know, you know, people who have accents and hear other people talk say, you know, we don't have an accent.
Oh,
I really feel that Chicagoans are free of accent.
Well, it's funny you say that.
I'm not kidding.
Say it yet. Ted McClellan has some news for you, Wendy, that you may not want to hear. That's coming up in just a little bit. You want to jump in, you can. Whether you're from Chicago or Chicago, we'll take your calls. We're at 312-981-7200. Spill and Wendy, WGN. Ted McClellan is here. Edward McClellan, if you want to be formal, why not?
Sure.
He's talking about the Chicago accent and how it is evolving and changing, possibly even disappearing, possibly. Now, I met you in the green room, Ted, and you gave some news that I get, but Wendy hasn't heard this yet. Please throw it Wendy's way.
Well, I hear a Chicago accent in you, but I don't hear a Chicago accent in Bill.
Oh, how about that?
How about that?
Well, where are you from, Bill?
Oak Forest, originally.
Well,
the southwest suburbs.
Okay.
Which is as blue-collar as Brookfield.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And more south side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I had elocution lessons for many years.
I
electrocuted?
Yes, over and over and over again.
I mean, I always thought among broadcasters always seem to try to bleach out any sort of regional accent they have.
I sound very Chicago, huh?
To me, yeah. To me, you do.
Because to me, you sound like you have no accent at all.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. And Bill sounds the same way. But people from other regions will tell me I sound...
You can't be in a club, Wendy.
People from other regions will sound, tell me I sound like a Midwesterner. But to you, being from the Midwest, I probably don't sound like I
but
have.
But there is something to that. There is a Midwestern accent.
Do you think you're smarter than me because you don't sound Chicago? Because your glasses are cockeyed on your face again.
I'm a nutty professor.
Well, there are many Midwestern accents. I mean, right, there people, are. People from Peoria speak in a completely different accent than people from Chicago. They
My
have,
brother lives there, and sure. some of the things they say... I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but it's totally different.
Or you see, still downstate, you'll hear people say "warsh."
Sure,
yeah, and that's a Midland accent. So that part of the country was settled from Pennsylvania, from Maryland.
Yeah,
and you know it goes all the way back to a Scots-Irish accent.
It's funny how traceable
sure.
most of it is.
Yeah, and in this part of the country, it's settled from upstate New York and New England, and it goes back to Eastern England. You can trace this all the way back to the old country.
Here's a Chicago thing I've noticed, and again, it is generational. It still permeates a little bit, but not as much as it used to. When a Chicago person will tell a story, and
yeah.
you know, so I went in there, and I says this, and then he says that, and then I says this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're writing that out, you would never say, I says, and yet that was kind of common to say.
I think you'd write it out.
Would you
I says. Or remember, Mike Royko had a book. It was called Says Who, Says Me.
Right.
Yeah,
so I remember.
I'm sure when he wrote about Slats Grobnik, he spelled it out S-E-Z.
Right. It became a word.
Yeah.
But instead of says, if you talk to like our generation or younger, he was like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
I'm all happy sure. about it, and she was like, so they don't even
and the
say
baby
says
boomers,
at all.
Yeah, the baby boomers are the greatest generation. They don't do it. Like I said, every generation has its own lingo, has its own sound, you know, has its own slang.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have people who have some comments and questions. Kay's on the line. Kay, we are talking to Ted McClelland. What did you want to jump in with?
Hey, hi, you guys.
Okay.
First of all, I just want to say I'm a bit of a word nerd, so I am loving this conversation. And I'm from downstate, living in the Chicago suburbs with a husband who says milk and pillow. That drives me crazy. But, Wendy, I just wanted to chime in and let you know that I have also noticed the H being added on to S words. Where is that coming from?
I guess because, you know, people were like, I'm so street. And honest to God, people say it now for all the ST words. And if you do it for street, you're going to do it for strangle and things like that. I hate it.
I hate it, too. It drives me crazy. I think the first time I heard it, believe it or not, I was actually watching, like, Maury or something like that. And somebody was accused of being a stripper.
Wow.
Myself, what the heck is a stripper?
All right. Well, thank you for being a word nerd, and thank you for chiming in, because this is an interesting conversation for me as well.
Well, can I just make one comment on what she said? She called us you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
a Chicago thing, isn't
no,
it?
Actually,
no,
actually, well, it's a northern thing, but there is another word that's used in Chicago. It means the same thing, and you can hear it in Beverly and Bridgeport, and that's yuz.
Y-A-Z or S?
Y-O-U-S-E.
Use.
I've never heard. We never use that. It's always you
no,
guys.
No, but it's pretty rare. I mean, it's an old Irish thing.
Yeah.
Because there's no standard second person plural in English.
Are yous going to church on Sunday?
Exactly.
Or yous not going to church on Sunday?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I remember I'm walking on Western Avenue. Some guy asked me, hey, are yous lost? Yeah, with a friend of mine.
That sounds Wisconsin to me.
Are you? They might do it up there. They do
there's
it in the
a
upper
bit of it.
They do it in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, too, but it's dying out in favor of you guys. And I kind of prefer yous because you guys is kind of gendered. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But guys isn't like camaraderie. Not
yeah.
Kay, thank you for calling. A great question. I want to make sure. I'm stuttering today. You got me all nervous because I sound like I'm from Chicago. I'm like all worried about it. Whatever. I grew up here. Julie,
you're on Chicago's very own. Don't worry about it.
Thank you. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I'm afraid to speak now.
I know.
Come on.
We were wondering if the bulk of Americans came from Europe in the 16 and 1700s and, you know, traveled all over. How did regional accents evolve, South Boston, New York, Chicago?
Well, a lot of them evolved from later waves of immigration, as we were talking about with the substituting the TH for D or yuz. Mm-hmm. That was an Irish thing. The Irish invented that because when they switched over from Gaelic to English, they needed a second person plural. So
and the D's, Dems, and Does from
the
Italians.
Yeah, the Italians and all the people who didn't use TH in their native language. And one interesting thing about the difference that I learned in my research, the difference between the Boston accent, why they don't use the R sound. Mm-hmm. When people did come over here in the 16th and 17th century, they were using the R sound. But that went out of favor in England. Dropping your R's became more classy language. And then those people in Boston and in New York would trade with England, and England had all this prestige in it, and so they sort of picked that up.
It's funny how they drop their R's, but here in the Midwest, we tend to drop our G's of all the letters.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the governor. There you go.
All the time.
Oh, well.
Honor, always.
That's completely affected.
Oh, no kidding. Well,
that's
thank
good
you
votes.
So much.
Sure. That's a great question. Thank you so much for calling. Here's something that we say in Chicago. At least I've done it. Marty?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
Excellent.
Good. One thing about the Irish, the hard T is big. That's an Irish thing as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, over here it's Thin Lizzy. Over there it's Tin Lizzy.
Mm-hmm. That's,
yeah.
That's
but I
true.
Wanted to ask about a certain word that I've always had my family use, and that's you say the word jeet instead of saying
did. Oh, yeah.
We do it.
That's famous.
That's a Chicago thing. Or,
that's famous all over the Midwest. When I was in Minnesota doing some research, they were making fun of people on the Iron Range, which was an area in the northeastern Minnesota and settled by Finns. And they say, yeah, you know, if someone wants to know if you had dinner, you'd say jeet.
J-E-E-T, jeet.
Yeah.
Jeet.
Yeah. Or else
right.
another
and
one is going.
The answer to that for did you is Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or you'll go out to your garage
right.
to work
sure.
on your engine.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Thank you so much, Marty. I was telling Ted McClelland off the air, my mom had a real diversion to the word, aversion to the word. You really make
so
me nervous.
So Chicago,
here.
Wendy.
Make me very nervous with my Chicago accent.
Right.
She would not let us say front room. That was just something. And we never really did the front room,
right.
but she didn't even want that used in our house. The front room she called the living room, and the family room she called the TV room. We could say, well, what about the front room? There is no front room in this house. There is no front room. Don't say that word. She really
well,
had an aversion to
that. Well, it's
funny
how many people referred to it as their front room.
Right.
Even when it was in the back of the house, they would still call it the front room.
Right.
Or front room.
Right. And I think, I don't know how often front room is heard. I think that may be more of a stereotypical
Chicago
pronunciation.
Thing. Yeah.
This is really fascinating. You can read Edward McClelland. He wrote this piece for the Chicago Reader. The Disappearing Chicago Accent is Layered with Local History. Very fascinating. And you have a couple of books as well, correct?
Yeah. Well, I wrote a book. The last one was called... Nothing But Blue Skies, and that was a history of the Rust Belt. And I wrote a book called Young Mr. Obama, Chicago and the Making of a Black President, pretty much arguing that Obama would never become president if he hadn't come to Chicago.
Interesting. All right. And those books are available everywhere. You can get those any place on Amazon,
sure,
Barnes
yeah.
& Noble.
And your
else.
Website?
EdwardMcClelland.com.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thank
it's
you.
Really
pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
It was
nice
fun
to
talking
to
both of
you. And thanks for telling me about your ma.
My ma, that was something too.
That's yeah. it. That's
she made
as
me. She signed every birthday card mother. I'm like, I don't call you mother. She made her grandkids call her grandmother.
Oh, nice.
No, it's no one says that, ma.
How about that? Come on, ma. What are you talking about? Thanks, Ted.
Thank
a
you.
Quick break and then some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.